Hey everyone, I'm Priya Sachdeva, your host at Trending Diary Show. Your journey to connect with ideas, stories, experiences and people and get a deeper understanding of the world around you starts now. Today I'm in conversation with Soma Da, an aspiring entrepreneur with extensive experience in online marketing. Core part of startup Guni, great tool to help your business improve its engagement with SMS and email marketing services. It's also a leading Australian fastest growing company. In this episode, listen to our conversation on what it takes to thrive in startup economy, differentiate a good or a great business. And if you are an aspiring entrepreneur or even a part of a startup, this is a must-listen conversation for you. Tune in. Hi, so welcome to the Trending Diary. It's lovely to have you back and lovely to see you again.
Hi, Priya. Thank you so much for having me. Indeed, it's an honor to be back. I think it's been a period of over 2 years now or more, right. I guess. But yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Indeed. And I think over a time span after COVID and this whole year passed by, a lot of things have changed. I think you have just evolved a lot into new startup, new work culture and a lot. So I think we are ready for more good conversations, yes. More valuable conversations. So I'm excited.
Definitely. I think it's a long time coming. And of course, I think it's not just me. I think the whole world in the last 2 years had to, you know, pivot towards a side that has made life very unpredictable. But at the same time, many doors have been closed. Even a new lot of opportunities have come up. So I believe in making the most of it. And I think luckily it's been working out well for me.
Indeed. First, you tell our audience like why you do what you do. So this is something I'm always curious to know. I think let's answer that. Why you do what you do.
So Priya, I'm an online marketer, like you know. And while my job is mostly with content, whether it's marketing on articles, blogs, or social media, or it comes to whatever you see online, basically. It helps, how it excites me, I would say, is that it helps me give a totally new image to every brand. A lot of companies I speak to have an issue where they feel that the brand is too professional, or for some reason they can't connect to their audience or their target audience for that matter. So this is where I come in as a marketer, because my skills don't just include reading tons of data and tons of pie charts. It also includes how to make a brand a more human brand, how to make it more relatable. So for that, it's just fun for me to, you know, be able to discover an audience, read more about it, find out about their interest, think how they're thinking. It's the same way for me, like, you know, when we go on YouTube or somewhere and we see a specific ad. So as a digital marketer, the first thing that comes to my mind is that, you know, how are they targeting that ad for me? So for me, it's all a part of something that I really genuinely like. It's taken me time to come from where I've been coming, being a content writer and then being a social media manager and then getting here where I am today. But what I've noticed is that since it's fun for me, most of the time it doesn't feel like work. So a lot of times you'll catch me even otherwise checking out, competitor brands or articles and blogs or just reviews for that reason. Because, I'm a part of all of these arenas for any company that I'm with. And I think it's great. I think it's fun that you get to be so creative and, you know, you get to challenge yourself every day, come up with new and more exciting stuff, because the competition has really increased in the last few years. It's become such a innovative field that you really need to come up with really good ideas to really hit a mark. We have such good companies. Of course, we have a market in Australia, so we target that audience over there who we are looking for. But even otherwise, I think it's a fun place to be if someone is creative and, actually has an interest with numbers and likes to see how they perform and just, you know, change things accordingly like that.
Indeed. Because you mentioned, I think somewhere you're right in the aspect that there are lots of startups, lots of companies coming up. And in the last two era after COVID thing, after 2019, we have a whole lot of startup culture in India, beyond our country, Australia, US. any place you mentioned, lots of people are getting into the entrepreneurship. So at the same time, there are lots of startups who are failing immensely. Lots of startups, a few startups actually, who are, you know, growing very good. They're becoming unicorns and stuff. So, and you also have worked with a lot of companies, a lot of startups, whether being the, you know, the main person with your branding person. So what do you think? What is that one?
Not a lot of them.
A few, thankfully. I know, but that gives you a whole lot of sense about, you know, what's working in the market. Is that one thing or anything that you should say? I'd not say one thing. What is that one aspect that, you know, really differentiate to successful and a failure startup or anything?
Sophia, you're right. I have worked with a few renowned brands like, Times Internet, Satyapal, and others, to name a few. But the reason that I always have a soft corner for startups is because even being in such an innovative and a competitive time, you're completely right, you know, where there are so many startups coming up, there are also a lot of them that we never hear again about.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a very challenging thing. But the reason that I have a soft spot for startups is because it gives me the chance to, challenge myself and do better than something that I've already been doing. When there's not much complexities with the hierarchy, you get to be a bit more free with things that you want to experiment with. You get the chance to lead a brand or a company in a direction that you visualize it as. Plus, of course, everything has its pros and cons. But for me, the main thing that matters is seeing what industry a startup is from, what is the potential, and of course, the people that are running it, which brings me to the reason why I am with Goonie today, because our founder, Mr. Kapil Sharma, he has over 14 years of experience in the, in the telecom industry. He's worked in India, Europe, and Australia. So he has a very extensive experience from where he comes from. He quit his job in 2019 and started Goonie. Of course, it was not easy because the next year was the pandemic and everyone was hit. It was very unpredictable and also hard to run a new company, especially a B2B company like ours, where it's not that easy. You know, we're not selling fashion, we're not selling skincare for that reason, where we can, we can, win people over. So of course it was challenging, but what I noticed was that the background of my founder really helped shape up where the company is today. So it made sense to me that, you know, this is someone who can actually knows about this industry and how to improve on it. So when he started this, of course he had a vision in mind that we will actually be taking it in a direction that other people don't, other messaging SMS services people don't. Of course, we have faced challenges, but when we click two and two together, I realized where to put my money or where you would say take the chances. So, of course, there are a lot of startups. I wouldn't say people should go risk themselves for each one of them. They should definitely consider and analyze what are the risks that are there, what are the industry we are coming from, and what is the scope of it, what are the competitors like. And of course, it has taken time, there's a challenge in everything. I won't say that, for some industries it's easier, for some startups it's easier. No, it's definitely not. There's a hustle culture that is always there. You know, we try to help each other out, we try to be there, and that is something that you have to be just prepared for.
Okay.
So these are some of the things that for me, a startup is great because I don't mind going the extra mile to succeed in something, as long as I get to be a bit more free and, just experiment a bit and bring new things. Because with creativity, that's how it is. You have to keep at least 20% leg room to experiment in your strategy. If you don't do that, then you know how they say, if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. So, gee.
Right. And so do you think that B2B market is much harder to,
Concur then B2C.
Yes, so Supriya, I would say that it's definitely more challenging because businesses, people who are actually running the businesses, are not most of the time on social media platforms that you would imagine. People who are running the businesses or the business owners, they are usually small or medium-sized business people. Large business owners don't have time, or they already have people who go check out stuff for them. So small and medium business owners themselves have their apprehensions. You know, they're very careful about where they want to invest money. They have a lot of people already advertising to them about stuff, how to grow their businesses. So of course it is very challenging. It's not like you know, if I have a great t-shirt that I've designed today for my store, I can really get a great model, get a nice HD quality visual image, and just have a cool tagline with it, and I know it will work because it's a good picture. So of course, definitely that thing does not work here. Here we need to provide value. We need to see what makes us separate from the competitors in very real-time value. It's not like I know this is a part of every marketer's online strategy, you know, to read the competitor brands and to create a strategy accordingly. But for B2B, definitely it's a bit more challenging. You have to do accordingly. I would not say that it's impossible or it's very, very hard. Definitely not. It's just that the strategy is very different to how you would treat, you know, a marketing strategy of a brand that is, for example, selling directly to consumers or, you know, customers like us. So that way it has been challenging, but you know, I love the challenges. I think doing the same thing will just make you a typecast, and you will just keep doing something and get into your comfort zone, which I am not really looking forward to. There's a challenge, definitely, especially, you know, how to catch an audience which already has so many people, you know, messaging them that, okay, you know, you use our services and stuff, and therefore.
Got it. So I think it's a whole lot in you that you should be the best in your service, you should be best in your product, because the good products sell for themselves. So yeah.
Definitely.
And also
Definitely.
because you have been into branding, as you mentioned, for so long, share good expertise. And I see that branding is such a great aspect that even as I mentioned that good products sell themselves, but even if there's a fine product, a good branding sell it better. It makes people just recall that brand, that how we recall Domino's all the time. If I want to eat pizza, I'll not think anyone else except Domino's. If I want to eat, a burger, I'll not expect anyone else, McDonald's or Burger King, just like a few things, How do you think that these great brands or some big brands, decide their brand language? And let's forget about these big brands, but even individually. When I say individually, it comes to the brands, the people who are struggling with the individual services. There are freelancers, there are people who are providing services, there are people who are doing startups. So how an individual or a business should try decide their brand language to put on?
Jee, so Priya, really nice question, because yes, branding is really important. That is one of the reasons why, even if Domino's or any other brand for that reason makes a bad product, we still remember them. It goes both ways, to be very clear about that. I completely agree with you. I think branding is most important. Actually, that's the reason why I come in the picture, because my job as a marketer is not just to, you know, my KPI, my key indicators are not just to bring sales. It's more on the fact of creating a brand identity. In today's time, especially with the last 5 years and the pandemic even pushing it further, a very crucial part of branding is creating online visual identity. You might have the best product, you might be very good in your services, but if you don't have an online identity in today's time, it's going to be a negative for your brand. And definitely you will lose business that way. Whether you know about it or not, you will. So, how we go about usually is that we check out the insights, we check out what our audience is like. From there, we find out, as a content manager, my duty would be to find out what brand tone works with our audience. What is the kind of visuals that we want to go ahead with, whether we want to go ahead with very bold colors, contrasting tones, or we want to keep very simple, soft colors, you know, small, small hygiene checks, which actually would be a part of branding, you know, just the physical, physical appearance that the page gives, whether it's our website or it's our social media platforms. All of those are something that we work on. They obviously need to be consistent wherever we are, whether it's our website or it's our social media pages. We take our time, we read our audience, we check out the insights, we do a lot of A/B testing, where we'll put out a couple of posts, for example, and we'll check out which one did best, you know, not just in the metrics such as likes or comments, but even otherwise, you know, how many shares it got, you know, whether it's something more on a fun tone that is working, whether it's something on a informative education tone that is working, you know, different content buckets that are there. So after A/B testing, it confirms us a bit more what our audience is looking at. But all these things are what goes in the mixture when, you know, we are focusing on branding, and we are a lot because, like I shared with you, in today's time, it's practically impossible to do a business because even, you know, whenever someone finds out about a, you know, about any a product or service, the first thing they do is they go on Instagram or Facebook and check it out, right? They go on Google and check it out. And if you're not there, you know, it just creates like a red flag for them. Like, you know, why are they not there? Like, is it something legit? Of course, being very honest with you, Goonie is a SMS messaging gateway. We provide SMS to small and medium-time businesses, which helps them grow their business at a very cost-effective price. These messages can be actually anything, you know, for example, for OTP, for something like a Father's Day promotion you might have. And of course, we add extra services to that, like, you know, like two-way conversions, and, you know, user can subscribe out whenever they want and so forth. There are many of that. I won't go into a you know, into a promotional speech right now for Goonie. But keeping these things in mind, of course, we play on these things, what keeps us separate from others, which is also a part of our branding, because the B2B business, or the business that we are in, the SMS marketing business, it's a very saturated market. So we're not the only ones doing it. There are tons of people doing it. And a lot of competition, because everyone is trying to do better than the other. Right. You know, suggest better rates, suggest better connectivity. We'll, you know, we'll network you till there, all over the globe. So keeping that in mind, for us, for me, branding takes an even more important role, because I need to make sure that I'm not doing the same thing that they're doing, because then there's no difference. And of course, this is a part of what research is like, because when you're researching on your audience, on your competitors, you find out mistakes that others make as well.
Right.
So for me, branding is all the elements coming together, Priya, to create a consistent visual identity for the brand, which the next time a person even sees our logo, they can, you know, connect to it, or at least know about our brand.
Indeed. And also because, you know, you mentioned it, that you need to be very, very careful while picking up colors, whether it's the theme, whether it's about the design or anything. And, you know, these small gestures just reflect that how much emotionally you are involved with a thing. So brand,
definitely,
unlike marketing, definitely, or sales or any other aspect of the business, it's a whole lot of emotion, because it's all about people. It's all about people, how they are going to, we are going to communicate with them, how they're going to, you know, perceive it. So I think it's one of the major aspect. It's not just, you know, a creative idea come to your mind. It's, you have to think a lot from being onto, you know, other people's shoes. So I remember that, you know, when this kind of hiring happens, even I'm a part of startup, so we, more than I just think, yeah, that if this person has a good EQ, you know, if that person have that kind of sense that, you know, they can consider others and put others before you. So I think that's a great thing, and a good quality to have. So
of course, because in the end, you know, like you said, Priya, in the end, we're not creating content for you or for me. We're creating content for our audience.
Yeah, indeed.
So that's what that is. Gee.
Exactly.
And you're right. I am, you know, that's a, I would say, a plus quality in me, that wherever I am in life, I am always very heavily invested in whichever company that I am working with. And of course, even with Guni, in that case, I'm very invested in them, and I make sure that we can go the extra mile and actually do something that, of course, our competitors are not doing. A lot of people think that, okay, when you're talking about fintech companies, when you're talking about telecom industries, they'll provide information. We'll go to their page. It'll be about the team or about information about what they do. There'll be promotional ads. And most of the people, to be honest, from the creative field, feel that it's a bit boring. It's a bit more theoretical than actually being creative, because it's not like that, right? It's not like, for example, it's not a creative field where you can be very creative. But then again, I think it matters from marketer to marketer. It's about how you can imagine things, how well you understand your audience. So even if you go see on our Goonies Instagram page, goonie.messaging, you would see that we create reels all the time. Unlike our competitors, we create a lot of fun, engaging posts, which is something that, you know, we want to keep the brand as a not just a very serious, a very serious brand, but also the fact that we're a human brand as well, and people can actually come out, reach out to us. So as a marketer, I feel this is also my responsibility to not make it so theoretical, so boring, just because we are in the B2B industry. And of course, these are things that matter, which actually also brings me to the reason why, our founder, Mr. Kapil Sharma, named Guni especially, is because it's a Sanskrit word, which actually means virtuous. Yes. And for that also, he, of course, he faced so many challenges, because in Sydney, the government had an issue trademarking it because they felt it has you and I in the end of it. So, it is a short form for university.
Okay.
So for that also, we faced a couple of challenges. Luckily, we won. Guni is now trademarked. And then we are slowly moving on. It's a great journey. We're still learning. We have our feet very firmly on the ground, but we're trying to slowly get up, and hopefully by the next 5 years we can start running.
Also, there's one more thing, because as you mentioned, you're part of the startup and you're highly invested in that, and there is a joint one, so I got to know more about this culture and stuff. And there's one very funny fight which is always happening, so I think I'm just curious to know, that is it with every startup happens? So there's a fight between the product, the tech part and the sales. So every time, because I'm oriented more into the B2C part, that every time we go to the customers for the sales part, marketing part, we came to know, the product is missing, that this is missing something or something like that. So definitely that helps you to build. So what do you think, which is the most critical? It's the sales part or the feedback, that, the tech part, the product part? So what do you think, what needs to be the better?
No, I think feedback always matters. I think that's the best way to improve. Like, if you don't get feedback, definitely you can't improve. That is the reason why even, all these big, big billionaire companies also, they still go for feedback. They still care about what a customer really...
But my question is around that. What do you think? That, as I mentioned, there's always a blaming. If sales is not happening, we say, no, yeah, product is not good. Yeah, your tech have to work. And then sales is not happening. We're not making many tech. We're like, salespeople need to change. That's a very crisp and fun conversation. But then this is a very critical aspect, I believe, and I, get deep into that. So what do you think, that it's like fine products can be sell better if there's a good salesperson, or if it's a good product, then it can sell for themselves? So what do you think about that?
So yes, I was coming to your very, rightly put question. I think, Priya, to be very honest, it is something that works in a circle. Whether you call it a very continuous circle for that reason, but it all works in a circle. To be very honest, in my experience, I've seen that not one works without the other. You can't have a good product and then not have a good sales team to market it, because then it's not going to reach people that actually need it. Right? And if the vice versa, if we have a good sales team, but the product is not nice, it makes no difference, because as soon as the people use it, they're not going to like it. So all of these things need to work in tandem. At the same time, this is where, the sales marketing team comes into place, that, if we have a good product, make sure to make people know about it. This is a part of the job. But in our field, in our company, I'll be very honest with you, that more emphasis is definitely given on the tech side, because we have to continuously keep updating ourselves with new technologies that are coming, technologies that are, yet to emerge or are going to emerge, because we need to make an analysis forecast about, how we can always improve on our services. Also, what services our customers, our competitors are offering. So we need to keep that in mind as well. And of course, I think that both of these things work together, but the tech thing, if you ask me, is the tech field is something that we are continuously trying to improve on, continuously, because that's our work. Even if someone doesn't know about us through our marketing team and they find us out, for example, from somewhere or from a word of mouth, so at least when they go and they check out, because we have a bunch of products, like a bunch of services that we offer. We offer Kuni Time, which helps you measure how long your employees are working, for daily admin tasks. We have a SMS messaging service. We're going to come out with a WhatsApp messaging service as well. So we have a couple of services. But again, if the I think for us, the backbone will have to be right now our technology. Because in this competitive line, what matters is how good our product, our software is actually working.
Indeed.
So that is how we've been approaching it. I would say that it works together, but I would say that right now, first, our focus lies on the tech, making sure that we have a product that is actually, that actually the market team can be, they can have their chest high and they can be like, okay, this is something that the market has never seen. So that is how we like to put it.
Indeed. And I also, just love at one point, because I personally believe it's like, good products sell for themselves. Somewhere I have consultation in that ways, because you are right that, tech just set the route. Your tech part, your, products just set the route, how people are going to, perceive it. So remember, Clubhouse thing had happened like previous year in COVID. No one called me or, that this Clubhouse is there, join. It just came to us, right? There was no salesperson, no sales team was there. It just came to us because of different kind of marketing strategies or that, that sharing thing, because no one can join if you can't share it with another friend. So I think it's all about how you set the product and how you make it other people that trigger.
Of course, and also the market that you're about to target, for people like Clubhouse, for that reason, their marketing strategy is being exclusive.
Indeed.
Right. So when Facebook started in 2004, their marketing strategy was that only if someone is a Facebook member already, can they help you add another person.
Right.
So later on, so what worked for these companies, Priya, was being the exclusive factor. So, of course, every new company, every business has its own strategy, its own audience that they target. The being exclusive factor does work, but we are not in that business right now that we need to focus on that. I think, of course, as time progresses, perhaps if we come up with a premium subscription sort of thing for Kuni, of course, we will go in that direction. But yes, it's fun to... check out these new things that people come out with, because even I had heard a lot about Clubhouse and, people told me how it works and you need to be sent an invitation for it. And that's what actually makes you more curious, right? It intrigues your mind that, no, why does someone need to invite me? Why can't I just join in a world where everything online these days is for free, right? You can sign up on anything for free. I think every company has their own marketing strategy, for some being exclusive world, but we are an exclusive and inclusive company. So it works well for us.
Indeed. And also, because we are discussing about the Clubhouses, it's immediately be curious about one more thing, that just taking the example of Clubhouse again, that, 2020, it was like a boom, everyone knows what's that. So the one marketing strategy works really immensely well. But I believe somewhere that Clubhouse thing did sustain so well, right? And I think it's with lots of startups. We listen about a product, we listen about a brand, we listen about an individual. they just boom up. Probably it can be because of your, you know, one strategy they use or something like that. But they don't sustain. Mm-hmm. Or at this another place, there's some brands, there's some businesses who are doing okay, but they're always, you know, escalating. They're always increasing. Probably they didn't just come with a glance or a flash, but they're always sustaining for a longer period of time in the market. So what any startup or a business have to make sure to, you know, to sustain, because that's more important for a business. It's not just about 2 years with a good thing or best thing. It's about 5, 10, leaving a legacy. So
of course. I think every new business owner plans to do that. I'm sure some of them actually do plan to just run it for a few years and call it quits, move on to the next role. You know, people get bored. So we're not here to judge anyone, but you are right. This is not something just you, even I noticed the fact. So for Clubhouse, I think what really mattered was that they opened at a time when the pandemic still, you know, still around us. It was 2020, it was 2021. So people were still, you know, not that outgoing. People were not still stepping out of their house. There were still a little bit of restrictions still there. So this is what I feel. Of course, I haven't spoken to Clubhouse's marketing team, so the direct or the exact insights is not what I would have. But I feel this is what worked for them, because most people at that time were home. You know, most people wanted something new to check out, whether it's online or on their phone. And I think this worked brilliantly for them. Unfortunately, you know, why they couldn't sustain it, maybe perhaps because when the COVID fever died down, when people started going out a bit more, you know, public places open, I think they couldn't sustain that because they couldn't keep that factor. For example, if I'm a customer, they couldn't keep that factor, which would still make me want to go back to them. Mm-hmm. So, of course, in today's time, I don't think I've heard anyone recently talk about Clubhouse. So, of course, this is personally something what I feel. What I've noticed is that a lot of startups, Priya, focus on how to build their company. They want to really boom in the next 5 years. But what really comes into play is having a marketing strategy that they can sustain, that they can execute, which is what decides how long you're going to be in the market or not. So, you know, different business owners I've seen have different ways to keep playing the field, as you would say. Like, you know, they have multiple things in which they have their fingers, multiple parts they have their fingers dipped into. They keep doing different things to keep the business running, because it's not easy getting clients. You know, you really have to go there and prove yourself to be an expert, and why someone else who's been there for the last 5 years is not as good an expert as you are. Mm-hmm. So of course, all these things come into play. I think most of the times, this is what makes a difference, because if a marketing strategy, even if it's a one which you think you can sustain it, you don't know how the market is going to be 5 months from now, right? For example, the market was in a very different situation when this year started. And unfortunately, once this Russia-Ukraine war started in February end, the market completely changed by April, May. So if you would tell me that I have a marketing strategy which is there to sustain the business for the next 1 year at least, that's not how it's going to work, right? You need to keep looking at trends. You need to keep looking at how the economy is functioning to actually change your strategy. I think this is somewhere where most companies, you know, falter with their marketing strategy. Also with the fact that they end up, you know, overspending in the first few years instead of judiciously using their resources and their finances to last a longer time. I've seen that many times business owners are, you know, so focused, like I shared with you, building the company in the first 2 years or the first 5 years itself, that it's hard to sustain it after a few years. And that's, again, because of, you know, the economy changing, the market changing, and it's a very competitive market. The online market in today's time is very different from what it was 5 years or 8 years ago even. So it's very difficult to be continuously online, continuously creative. There are companies which have, you know, limitation of resources. There are companies which are dealing with resources from an outside agency. And challenges are faced by everyone. So of course, you know, there are a lot of challenges that companies face. Some of them that can be taken care of, some of them that can't be taken care of, which is why I've seen that most companies last. Most companies again don't last, but of course it matters from industry to industry because every industry is different. You would see a lot of startups in the fashion industry have come up in the last 2 years, and also they've vanished now without a sight. You'll also see a lot of, you know, skincare companies that come out. You see them randomly on social media, you know, promoting their product, showing someone using it, and you know, being really good about it, giving a testimonial and all that stuff. But probably from 2 years from now, you'll see that that company is now closed or maybe has changed because of legal issues. So these things are something that is definitely happening. But yeah, I think if the market team is an in-house marketing team and they know how to, like I shared with you, pivot according to the situation, I think that's the best thing.
And it's also about, you know, what grit you carry. I think it's all about the lots of people who do not are not able to take that thing that, you know, they want an early success or something like that. But it's all about the grit. Longer you know, preserve and longer you carry it on, the I think better you can sustain your business, your work, or as an individual, an artist, or anyone, I should say, right?
Of
And
course.
also coming across one, you know, last thing, that what do you think? What's the 5 year vision or 10 year vision you carry for the company? Because I love to ask people, because you know it's not about what we are doing now. As you mentioned, that when it comes to the sustain, the grit part, it's also good to talk about the vision part. So what do you think, as a startup, as a company into a very different aspect, what is the vision that you carry? How do you set the goals for that?
So I completely agree with you, Priya. I don't think any business can survive if you're just thinking about today or tomorrow. But in fact, like you said, next 5 years or next 10 years at least. So our business goal, what we're planning at Goonie, Priya, is the direction to go in is to become a global brand. By the beginning of 2023, we plan to extend our services to UK and Singapore as well. By the end of 2023, we plan to be in Thailand and India as well with our services. So we plan to take Goonie globally. We have quite a few, big plans in our mind. And of course, while right now our services, most of our clients are more focused on SMS messaging, like I shared with you, we'll be also going into the arena of social media and WhatsApp messaging and offering that as a services to our clients. So we'll be going full throttle. I don't think we have the time to sit down now and think too much. And honestly, we're not even that kind of a team. We are very self-motivated and we are very driven right now to, you know, just do our best. Just make sure that we take every mark. Because it's great. We love what we do and we love what Goonie does. Every team member is a part of that, this future plan that we have. And of course, we plan that we hope that the team grows in the meantime as well, because we all can't be everywhere at the same time. But yes, this is the plan that we have coming in the next 5 years, Priya.
Great, great. I really love your enthusiasm and energy that you know you're putting. As you mentioned, you're right that you're very much invested in. You're just talking like that you are the founder. You have just created that,
No,
and
thank you
believing
so
that that's the energy that every startup, because people are the best.
much.
It's not just about the tech or anything. I think it's the people. You know, it's all about people.
Of
So
course, of course.
even the best head team or whatever, so you need to be kind of investment. As you know, your emotion, your work, and energy.
Exactly.
I love
Exactly.
that.
Definitely. Goonie is a human brand, and you know, we want people to know that you know, it's a brand run by humans as well. For us, family always comes first, but even apart from that, we all love what we do, and of course, we are really looking forward to taking this to the next level, and yeah, hopefully we'll be there soon. And I'd like to thank you because a part of this energy that I have while speaking to you is also because of you. You're always very engaging to speak to, and yeah, it's great having a conversation with you, Priya.
Indeed, indeed. And also before going on, before saying bye, thank you, Rod. So this is one thing I'm always know from my guest. This is a one trend song that you want to see more evolving, one trend that you want to see more embraced than you. What does it seem like?
So see, I'll be honest with you. I'm very fascinated these days by augmented reality, and also services that people can use without doing too much work. So we are thinking of a few of our services which can help people simplify stuff. But it's a very big technological, I would say, step that most industries, most B2C, companies are taking these days, going with augmented reality and other stuff, just to add a new layer of, connecting with the people. It's something that I think can be really big in the coming future. How we can imply those things to our service is still something that I'm not going to go into right now, because this is something just from a personal point of view that I'm sharing, not as a point of view as for Guni. Because to be very honest with you, our tech team would be much more enthusiastic about answering this, because they're always looking for new technology that we can do, like I shared with you, to improve our services. We are always looking how to make our business, more cost effective and so forth. But for me right now, augmented reality is all that is on my mind. I'm really fascinated by how it's slowly but surely creeping into the industries, and people are making use of it. And it actually seems to be a really next level marketing experience for the consumer. So let's see where technology takes us. I'm pretty sure it's not about 5 years anymore. I think in the next 1 year itself, we'll have a lot of new things which we will be able to imply in people, in our marketing strategies as well.
Because you mentioned augmented reality, this is something even I'm very fascinated about, honestly. Remember, last year I've just came across with this series Black Mirror on Netflix. I don't know if you have seen that. Yeah,
of course. Yes,
I mean, that's so mind-blowing. Yes. Always you're like, I can't stay. I have to always switch to the next episode and see what's next story, what's the new technology. And they just find that, I know
you get to choose on the dark side. What situation you want the person to. So it makes it interactive as well, which is very next level.
Right. Though that series, reflects the more darker side of the aspect of the world, it's completely dark, what bad or what worst you can do with that. But I think there are lots of miracles when it comes to the business, and more onto the reality part, of course, lots of good can happen. So I think this is pretty fascinating that, what technology is bringing, what world is bringing to us. So,
Of course. It's amazing to just see that. So yeah, so Black Mirror was an eye opener for many. I think many shows have followed in after that. But yeah, of course. This is the exciting part, right? To see how it merges with your business and you tend to make out something of it. So yeah, great. Expecting great things. Technology, I don't think, is going to stop anytime soon. So it's just going to, get better.
Sure. And thank you so much. It was lovely, lovely to have you. It's always great to be in conversation with you. It's always, I love to know new things. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. The feeling is mutual. Like I said, I think it had been a while that we, spoke from our last time. And thank you so much for having me over again. I hope the next time when we speak, we are globally with Guni, and we have a lot more stuff to share with you.
I'll make sure next time I'm having a live studio. So that's my involvement for Trending Diary. I'll make you come here and host you personally.
Excellent. I think I'll really be very honest with you. I think Trending Diary has really grown from the last time that I spoke.
Yeah.
In a lot of aspects, I see so many changes, and it's so nice, to see how Trending Diary has evolved in just the last 2 years, even for that matter. And I hope you great success. I think it's great what you're doing. It's a great initiative. I, coming from the content background, feel that everyone has a story to tell.
Yeah.
And who other person than Priya best to tell it?
Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you.
I think it's really amazing what you're doing. You know, keep doing it. And I wish to speak to you soon again.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Thank you so much.
Great. Great. Thanks, Priya.
Hey, beautiful people. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you get some value today. And if you have some idea, concept, or story to share, do DM us at the Instagram page of Trending Diary. We are here to listen. Also, I'm excited. What are you building? Are you a part of great startup or are you a founder of great startup? Do share us your great idea. And don't forget to leave us a positive and kind review on Apple Podcast and follow us back on whichever platform you're listening to. I'll see you in another episode with another great human, with another great story and with another great experience. Bye-bye, stay tuned, and God bless us all! The soul! The soul!